This is Sun Sounds of Arizona in Tucson, reading to make a difference for you. Stay tuned as we turn the page.
Welcome to today's reading of the Green Valley News. My name is Bill, volunteer reader here at Sun Sounds, and let's begin today's reading with a headline that reads, Warrant Issued for a Former Golf Cart Business Owner. This feature is written by Kim Smith of the Green Valley News. After months of investigations and more than a dozen complaints, a former Green Valley golf cart business owner has been indicted, but a warrant was issued for him Friday when he failed to show up for his arraignment to Pima County's Superior Court. Details of the indictment have not been released, but Pima County Sheriff's Detective Santiago Hernandez has indicated that in the past he intended to see multiple felony theft charges against Jack Roth, the most serious charge carrying a maximum prison sentence of 10 years. A spokeswoman for the Pima County Attorney's Office said that a failure to appear warrant was issued on Friday afternoon for Roth, and the bond has been set at $20,000 should he be arrested on that charge. Hernandez began investigating Roth, the owner of Valley Golf Carts on Abrego Drive, in August after a Green Valley resident reported having given Roth money to purchase golf carts as an investment, but was never paid after the vehicles were sold. Roughly 20 others came forward with similar stories, but several later decided not to pursue charges for various reasons, Hernandez said. The 15 seeking Roth's prosecution lost a combined amount of at least $500,000, Hernandez said. According to Pima County Sheriff's Department's reports obtained by the Green Valley News, Roth spoke with authorities by phone and text last August and early September. At the time, Roth said that he was in the process of selling his business and intended to repay all of his investors, a Pima County Sheriff's Department report stated. Roth then met with detectives on September 11th and November the 1st. During the interviews, Roth acknowledged owing investors tens of thousands of dollars. Roth stated that he knew what he did was wrong and illegal. He did not pass blame on to anyone else, Hernandez wrote following the September 11th meeting. Roth told Hernandez that he began an affair with an employee after he discovered that she had embezzled up to $9,000 from him and said over the course of the last 7 years he has loaned her $800,000. At various times he has asked her to repay him large sums of money, but she has never followed through, Roth told Hernandez. Hernandez tried to book Roth into Pima County Jail last September, but jail officials rejected Roth because his blood pressure was too high, Hernandez said. After completing his investigation, authorities sought to arrest him again but could not find him for several weeks. Roth was arrested in March at Desert Diamond Casino after he was spotted by casino security officers. Roth, who said that he did not know law enforcement was looking for him, was booked into Pima County Jail and later released on his own recognizance. Hernandez has said that he didn't ask the judge to set bond for Roth because He has been cooperative. He has confessed, and he has no criminal history. In addition, he is an older gentleman and has no money. A judge likely would not have set one for him, Hernandez said. Roth is facing at least 2 civil lawsuits from people who claim that he defrauded them. Green Valley-based Gotta Go Golf Carts, which has no connection to Roth or his Valley Golf Cars, has purchased the building on Abrego and is open for business now. And again, that feature is entitled Warrant Issued for Former Golf Cart Business Owner, written by Kim Smith of the Green Valley News. And in other news from the Green Valley News and Sun, here's a rundown of some state briefs. The headline reads, and here's a subheading, Arizona Losing Pro Hockey Team. The National Hockey League approved the $1.2 billion sale of the Arizona Coyotes from owner Alex Mariello to the Utah Jazz owners Ryan and Ashley Smith, which means that the franchise will move to Salt Lake City starting with the 2024-2025 season. As part of the deal, Arizona will get an expansion team if a new arena is built within the next 5 years. It was undecided Friday if the Tucson Roadrunners, a minor league affiliate of the Coyotes, will move to Tempe or play in both Tucson and Tempe. In another state brief, this subheading reads, Candidate Drops Out After Challenge. State Representative Austin Smith withdrew his candidacy for re-election last Thursday after a signature challenge alleged that some signatures on his nominating petition were forged. Quote, It seemed ludicrous because Republicans trying to get on the ballot do not seek Democratic signatures and would have no reason to forge Democrat signatures since they don't count, he said in a statement Thursday morning. Nevertheless, it was something that I took seriously because the coordinated attack included press releases and social media activity and other things that made it clear that this was a well-organized effort, unquote. The recommendation I received most was that I bow out and live to fight another day. I might be confident of victory, but all of it would take as a judge believing any one person, and all would be lost, he continued. The Secretary of State Adrian Fontes' office said that allegations of forgery are automatically referred to State Attorney General Chris Mayes' office. And the next state briefing is titled Irregularities Probed in Bank Accounts. Santa Cruz County, the FBI, and the State Auditor General are investigating the Treasurer's Office due to irregular activity reported on county bank accounts. The Board of Supervisors released a statement confirming that its servicing bank, J.P. Morgan, had flagged irregularities in county bank accounts. Transactions included electronic transfers to an unfamiliar business account, according to county documents. The supervisors alerted Treasurer Liz Gottfer that they planned to impose a 120-day paid suspension on her position as an investigation took place. Instead, Gottfer resigned on April the 12th. After receiving the alerts from J.P. Morgan, county staff contacted the FBI and Auditor General's office to conduct an investigation. And the next heading under the State Briefs report reads, Nogales to be the site of a mining center. South 32, which is the name of a mining company with operations in the Patagonia Mountains, will establish its upcoming remote operations center in Nogales. The new facility, called Centro, will be west of Interstate 19 near the Mariposa Industrial Park area, according to a news release issued by South 32 last Wednesday. From this center, South 32 workers will remotely monitor and operate some of the underground and surface equipment located 28 miles away at the Hermosa Project site south of Patagonia. It is a facility that I think the community will be proud of, Hermosa President Pat Risner told the Nogales International on Wednesday. It's really a big win for the community to have something that is as technologically advanced as this, unquote. Construction of the new 9-acre facility will begin by the end of this year and will consist of about 200 full-time employees, most of whom, Risner hopes, will be current residents of Santa Cruz County. Establishing the remote operations facility in Nogales, where a large portion of the county's residents live, will give South 32 a better chance at fulfilling its goal of hiring at least 80% of its Hermosa workforce locally, Risner said. And another headline among the State Briefs report reads, Mojave County sees big staff shortages. Mojave County officials are sounding the alarm over critical staffing shortages, a persistent issue despite long-term efforts to boost recruitment. As they seek solutions, these departments must also contend with looming budgetary deficits that threaten to complicate the situation further. Mojave County is in northwest Arizona. According to Mojave County Finance Director Luke Mornian this week, 76% of all county departments averaged greater than 10% turnover due to resignations last year. According to Mr. Morian, the average rate of turnover due to resignation across all county departments was about 16% as of this week. The proposed pay increase for county employees follows a previous increase passed by the county's governing board in the year 2021, when base-level county employees earned about $12.15 per hour. The board voted that year to raise employee pay by $1 per hour in 2022 and another dollar in 2023. And another feature in the state briefs, new abortion law in effect on June the 8th. Attorney General Chris Mayes said that June the 8th is the expected date that the law banning all abortions unless a mother's life is at risk will take effect in Arizona. The state Supreme Court ruled 4-2 last week that the law could take effect over the 15-week law currently in place, and the legislature is currently trying to decide whether or not the law gets repealed, the Center Square reported. Quote, absent any additional litigation or action by the legislature, the status quo remains in place concerning abortion law in our state until June the 8th, 2024, unquote, Mays wrote in a letter addressed to healthcare leaders in the state last Thursday. The date is based on when the court is expected to issue a quote-unquote mandate on April the 24th. Quote, "My office continues to explore all legal options available to prevent the 1864 near-total abortion ban from taking effect. But healthcare providers can be assured that because of a separate court order, the territorial era ban will not take effect until 45 days after the Arizona Supreme Court issues the final mandate in Planned Parenthood versus Mays/Hazelrig," unquote, the letter continued. Mays had made it clear that she has no plans to prosecute over abortions. An executive order from Governor Katie Hobbs from June of 2023 already said that abortion-related cases get directed to Mays in order to avoid county attorneys exercising their prosecutorial power on the issue. And in other news from the Green Valley News and Sun, this feature is entitled "Sapori Aid Helps Stir the Imagination," and this feature is written by Brianna McCord of the Green Valley News. Sapori Elementary School in Amado wants to get kids interested in art, and leading the charge is 21-year-old Michaela Fierro. Between growing up in Amado, attending Sapori, and working as an instructional aide there, Michaela has a strong connection to the school and has taken on the task of opening students' imaginations. Quote, "I started drawing and a few students saw my drawings and asked if they could color them," she said. "I figured, you know what, I'll make my own personal coloring book for them. I'll draw some people that I think they find interesting, and it just took off from there," unquote. Mia Fierro, a special education aide, and Michaela's 26-year-old sister, had the same thought. "I think it's good because it shows kids more of imagination," Mia said, "because some kids tend to lose it when they get older," unquote. Michaela always had an interest in art, especially drawing, and despite falling out of the hobby for a while, she managed to find her way back through her job. "Once I started working here, it was perfect timing because I was able to actually express any ideas that I was able to have," she said. "It did a lot for me. It expanded some of the techniques that I used to do," unquote. Now she's in charge of staffing the school's new art cart during recess, which gives students an option to create art or hit the playground. Mia is more focused on painting than drawing and helps run the initiative. "When I started last year, a lot of the kids wanted to draw or just do something because they were bored of just playing on the playground," Mia said. "So I asked if we could do an art cart," unquote. The art cart is outside almost every day at recess, weather permitting, and consists of two buckets, one with paint supplies and one with basic art supplies such as paper, scissors, and markers. It also includes folders filled with coloring pages printed from the web and those that Michaela created for the students. "Not only do they enjoy coloring Michaela's drawings, the students are drawn to the motivational posters that she made to encourage them during state testing. They look forward to seeing my drawings every now and then. And then they saw my posters and loved it even more, she said. I'm actually working on a few more of those as well as for the gym, unquote. The posters were Michaela's first time working with colored pencils. We think that showing that creative side, they'll be able to see that we see you, and we just want them to know that we are there for them, she said. I believe those posters are an effective way to show them that, considering that we see them every day, unquote. Michaela is also taking on a much larger task, painting the Sapori mascot in the center of the basketball court. It's a very different experience for me, especially since it's a very big project and it's very wide as well, she said. It's going to be a learning curve, that's for sure, unquote. The project will take shape this summer when new lines are painted on the court. Until then, Michaela is finding other projects to work on. As for right now, I think I'm going to do my best to put more out there, more encouraging stuff out there and around the school, and show them that you can be creative wherever you are, she said. Her first target is the library, something that she hopes to expand in the future. I want to try adding more of my art to the library, she said. I'm interested in becoming a librarian so that I could be fully able to do what I want in there creatively. That is my main goal for that whole library and around the school as well, unquote. Michaela loves doing art, but says that the most rewarding part is guiding students to do their best and create their own art. I'll teach them the steps into doing what they want to draw. They'll get the hang of it and they'll love it, she said. I'm hoping that once they do, they'll be inspired and show that even though I didn't know how to at first, I did go and try, regardless, unquote. And again, that feature is entitled Sapori Aid Helps Stir Imagination. And that feature written by Brianna McCord of the Green Valley News. And here's another feature from the latest Green Valley News. This feature is entitled Sharing Knowledge. Next Generation Inspired by a Real Rocket Scientist. This feature written by George Encinas of the Green Valley News. No one told John Meshberger that he could be a rocket scientist when he was growing up, so now he has made it his personal mission to let Saurita students know that they can with hands-on science lessons. On April the 8th, Meshberger set up several telescopes at Wrightson Ridge School during the partial eclipse. Wearing a lab coat with a solar flare print, Meshberger made his way up and down the basketball court, giving tips, facts, and examples, but most of all, sharing his love of science. Meshberger, a solid rocket propulsion engineer, began spreading his love for science to younger generations while living in Peoria, Arizona. We used to do a lot of work at the Challenger Center up there. We used to bring the ejector seats into the school, he said, about visiting his daughter's class. So after that, they invited me back to do some stuff, unquote. In the year 2012, Meshberger and his family moved to Sarita, where he found that there wasn't anything similar to the Challenge Center for young people. We went to Pima Air and Space. We went to Titan Missile Museum. they were doing the same sort of stuff, he said. At the time, Meshberger also started going into his youngest daughter's Sarita class to provide extra science lessons with the teachers. But without a Challenger Center type of facility in the area, Meshberger and his family decided to fill the gap. So my wife let us start our own company, Meshberger said. Rather than complain about it, do something about it, unquote. In 2016, Space Science Adventures hit the ground running, providing hands-on science lessons in Sarita Unified School District classrooms as a registered vendor. Over the years, we have developed curricula from the first grade all the way through high school, Meshberger said. Mostly I do the elementary schools because I'm limited in my time, unquote. Meshberger had a busy month of April in Sarita Unified School District classrooms. In addition to the partial eclipse, he held a parachute demonstration with second graders on April the 12th. And last Friday, he took an erosion table to a class so kids could learn the state standards in erosion, with students getting a chance to build their own river. It all boils down to when I was a kid in Indiana. No one ever told me then that I could be a rocket scientist. You know, you worked in the factory or you worked in a farm. Well, I want the next generation to know that they could do whatever the heck they want, unquote. Wrightson Ridge 6th grade science teacher Michelle Rosma found the hands-on approach brings countless benefits to teaching complicated topics. Quote, I think so many of our kids learn better hands-on, she said. So this allows them to experience science in real life and not just read about it, unquote. And again, that feature is entitled Sharing Knowledge, Next Generation Inspired by a Real Rocket Scientist, written by George Encinas of the Green Valley News. And that's all the time that we have for this reading of the Green Valley News. Again, my name is Bill, volunteer reader here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great Monday.